Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me in the studio today is my friend and colleague at MRM, Sharon Lindblom, who also runs our blog site called Mormon Coffee. But today we're going to be talking about a portion of Mormon history, a story that many Mormons certainly do believe, and it has to do with the handcart companies that came across the plains to the Salt Lake Valley. One of the more tragic stories has to do with the Willie and Martin handcart expedition, and particularly we want to talk about this, what's known as the Sweetwater Rescue, the Sweetwater being the Sweetwater River, and how several Mormons were sent out to rescue members of the Martin handcart company. And this story goes back to a statement that was made by Solomon Kimball. So Sharon, why don't you kind of take it from there? What did Kimball actually say about this?
Well, Solomon Kimball told this story. It was printed in the Improvement Era in 1914. He wrote, "After the company had given up in despair, after all hopes had vanished, after every apparent avenue of escape seemed closed, three 18-year-old boys belonging to the relief party came to the rescue, and to the astonishment of all who saw, carried nearly every member of the ill-fated handcart company across the snowbound stream. The strain was so terrible and the exposure so great that in later years all the boys died from the effect of it. When President Brigham Young heard of this heroic act, he wept like a child and later declared publicly, quote, that act alone will ensure C. Allen Huntington, George W. Grant, the captain's son, and David P. Kimball an everlasting salvation in the celestial kingdom of God, worlds without end," close quote.
Now, that story has been circulated among Mormon people for years, ever since it came out in the early 20th century. However, there Mormon historians have found that there are some discrepancies in that story. Mm-hmm. And even though the story keeps going around, there are some discrepancies that need to be clarified in this. First, we ought to mention that Solomon Kimball was actually the brother of one of the rescuers, David P. Kimball. But at the time, he was only 9 years old, so he wasn't a part of this. He's getting this all secondhand. Right. So he's not an eyewitness to it at all. So who is it that actually did some digging on this and found out that the story isn't quite the way it's been told throughout the many years?
Well, Chad Orton, who is an archivist for the LDS Church History Center, wrote an article for BYU Studies in 2006. The article is titled "The Martin Handcart Company at the Sweetwater, Another Look."
And one of the discrepancies that he brings out is the fact that there were actually more than three people who were involved in the rescue. And first of all, we have to stay here. There were about 500 people in this handcart company. Right. So if we have only three young 18-year-olds, you know, rescuing these people, carrying them across the river, and at this point where they were carrying them, the river was about 30 to 40 feet wide. And so we have to imagine that these three boys carried, 500 people across? I mean, if we're going to go by this story. Now, right off the bat, we're starting to see there's some problems with this. And as I understand, the rescue actually started kind of late in the afternoon anyway, so there wouldn't have even been time for them to carry that many people across. So right there we have a problem. There was a man, name of Daniel Jones in his autobiography, where he said that there was probably around 27 rescuers that came to their aid. But at the same time, a lot of the handcart people themselves walked across the river. And what else? There were wagons that were involved. There were supply wagons that went along with every handcart company, and there was like one supply wagon for every 100 people or so. Mm-hmm. So if there were about 500 people in this handcart company, there should have been at least five wagons, but from one account that I read, there were probably six wagons that would have helped people as well.
Well, so, the rescuers also brought wagons.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. You're right. And so the story is obviously starting to crumble here. Now we should mention, you know, this is still a heroic effort. I don't want to downplay that. Absolutely. I mean, these guys, they're going out there several miles to meet these people that they know are stranded. And certainly that's a heroic effort. I don't want to downplay that. It's just here again, we have, and you and I see it a lot of times, Sharon, where a lot of these stories in Mormon histories tend to get embellished. They tend to be exaggerated to where a lot of the facts seem to be overlooked and purposely overlooked because why? They're faith promoting. And we hear a lot about faith promoting material here. Now, Orton makes a comment, and we were talking about this earlier, where he actually changes the perception, I think was the phrase that was used.
Right. At the time that this happened, people were pretty upset that, you know, that so many people had died during this particular handcart in these two companies. Mm-hmm. And people were casting blame, looking to the church leadership for someone to blame that they had been wrong in setting all this up and sending it forward this late in the season, et cetera. And so Chad Orton writes that that Kimball, Solomon Kimball wrote that Young proclaimed that the rescuers would become immortalized for their heroic acts. And this, according to Chad Orton, came true, but because Kimball was willing to talk about it. He says, at the time, the Martin experience was widely seen only as a disaster. But later, because of Kimball's willingness to retell the story and embellish it, he helped change the perception of Latter-day Saints concerning the handcarts and helped elevate the William Martin story from simply a tragic event to one that demonstrated the triumph of the human spirit under adverse conditions.
So again, what we have here is we're going to switch the story a little bit. We're going to get the attention away from the leadership.
Right.
And there were people that actually blamed Brigham Young for this because they were starting out rather late. And also, what was another problem with the handcarts themselves, the wood that was being used for the handcarts was still considered very green.
Right.
Green wood is not a good combination because green wood tends to dry out and fittings, you know, start to break loose and things like
right.
that. So they had problems with that as well.
There also was an overestimation on Brigham Young's part as to how far the travelers could go in a day and how little food they could get by on. And so they started out already with the deck stacked against them.
Now, there was a film that came out in early June called 17 Miracles, which was supposed to kind of give a dramatic retelling of this story. Now, it says at the very beginning of the film, and I don't want to talk about the film too much at this time, that it's more or less, we get the impression it's a conflation of what happened both with the Willie Handcart expedition and the Martin.
Yes.
And in the film itself, it doesn't really talk about this crossing, because I think for one, the crossing didn't even happen with the Willie handcart expedition.
Correct.
This was the Martin handcart expedition.
Yep.
But there was a scene in the film where a character by the name of George is seen carrying a lot of these people across the river, and this big play is made of how George went back and he went and got more people, and then he went back and he got more people, and it's a very dramatic scene. And of course, afterwards, and if you haven't seen the movie, I'm about to give a spoiler, so close your ears if you want to see it and you don't want to know what happens. George dies right mm-hmm. afterwards. And that's basically what was told by Kimball, that these three young men actually died from their heroic efforts. Now, what's the truth behind that? First of all, we know that the people that were involved weren't even 18, even though Kimball makes that story. He talks about Huntington, and there's Taylor and Kimball. Huntington was 24, we know. Stephen Taylor was 20, and then David B. Kimball was 17. Okay, mm-hmm. so he was younger. And there was others, too, that were involved. There was a George Grant was 16. One can only wonder how many people a 16-year-old could have carried and how heavy they would have been. So I'm having to assume if he was involved in this that he's probably carrying the children,
right.
Which would be lighter. And again, very heroic.
Yes.
But again, what we want to talk about is the way that Mormon history tends to get embellished
mm-hmm.
And exaggerated and becomes very faith-promoting. Now, the guy that wrote Devil's Gate, a guy by the name of Roberts.
David Roberts.
What's the story about how when he was doing his research for his book and he was listening to some Mormon tour guides and he's hearing them tell this story, and he has to say something. And can you kind of tell that story a little
bit? Well, he was visiting as part of his research all of the various visitor centers and things along the trail. And he heard the story over and over again. But he had read this paper that Chad Orton had written and knew that the story of the Sweetwater rescue wasn't true, or at least wasn't accurate. And he, one day, while he was visiting one of the handcart sites, he hooked up with a group of LDS folk who were drawing handcarts and camping out and doing the kind of thing that they do. And they invited him to join them, and they told the story of the Sweetwater rescue. And Dave Roberts at that point couldn't hold his tongue any longer, and he blurted out, you know, Chad Orton has debunked that whole story; it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And as he writes it, he says it. I think he said something like, "I you know felt as welcome as a drunk at a wedding."
I think something like that was the phrase, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. And anyway, it was obviously something these people did not want to hear. And what ended up happening was, you know, they kind of were quiet, the Mormons were quiet, and they finally said, well, how do we know what really happened? And one of the women in the group said, well, we can pray about it.
Wow. You know, I have that happen so many times whenever I'm down in Manti with my gold plates, when they see that the plates are just too heavy to carry, the way Joseph Smith said. I get that a lot. Well, mm-hmm. How do we really know then? Mm-hmm. It seems like up until that point, they know very clearly what was told to them
right.
by their history books and their correlated material. But then all of a sudden, very quickly before we close, let me just say this. They did not die at a young age either. George Grant was 32 when he died, not right after it happened. David B. Kimball was 44 when he died. Alan Huntington, he actually was 65 and actually spent some time in the penitentiary. So there's a lot more to this story than meets the eye. And really the reason why we're doing this is not to try to take away some of this from the Mormons, but you know, if you're going to have anything, it's got to be based on truth.
Right.
If it's not based on truth, it's not worth having. And even though it might be faith promoting, and I might say some Christians sometimes do the same thing, and that's just not the way it should be. You want to put your faith in things that actually happened. And though this was a very heroic effort, it just didn't happen the way most Mormons believe.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.